I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire.
Well, I noticed the city of Regina is celebrating Fire Prevention Week, and this year's theme, Charge into Fire Safety. Charge. 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 Get it? Safety. Maybe too much of a leap there. Anyhow, Fire Chief Lane Jackson with me now. Chief, thank you for being here. That's the theme. What's it mean?
Lithium ion batteries in your home. So we want to just talk about safety and prevention in those, with those devices. They are safe. What we find with lithium ion batteries, though, is when they do catch fire, they burn quite intensely and ferociously, and they're hard to put out. So we want to draw everyone's attention to using them safely in their home.
How do I identify what that battery is?
The lithium batteries are the rechargeable ones. So yes, the ones that are in your tablets, smartphones, e-scooters, e-bikes, those types. They're quite prevalent, and that's why we want to draw attention to them, because if they do overload, if they do fail, they start a fire very quickly and they burn quite intensely.
Okay, so when we change them, how do we dispose of them?
They do wear out eventually. You want to dispose of them safely. You just don't want to throw them into the garbage or into the recycle cart. There's actual places that you can recycle them, and there's a website called call2recycle.org, and it'll give you the nearest locations in your neighborhood where you can drop them off.
Fire Chief Lane Jackson, my guest. We often charge our phones. When you buy a new iPad or, you know, whatever phone you use, it comes with the original charging device. But there's so many knockoffs. Are they dangerous too?
And when you're charging them, you want to make sure you're using that manufacturer's recommended cord. Charge them on a smooth, dry, flat surface. Don't charge it under your pillow, Greg, at
what?
Night.
Are you going to calls where somebody has fallen asleep with their cell phone under their pillow? And
yeah,
I've heard stories of that. That happens?
So you don't want to charge them and you don't want to insulate them. So you want to keep them in a nice, open, dry area. There has been calls where the fire department has gone to calls where people are charging them in insulated positions like that with pillows or whatever in blankets, and it just can't vent properly or they can't breathe properly and cool off.
I once had this charging cord that I bought. It was a knockoff. When I went to unplug it, you could really feel how hot it was after being plugged in for an hour or so. Does that tell me that knockoff is
dangerous? That does. Folks will ask, when can we tell if they're failing, if you notice an odor, if they're extra hot, things like that you got to be careful with. That's a sign that you could be overloading or it could be failing.
Fire Prevention Week, and the first thing a lot of youngsters think about is becoming a fireman. Any opportunities for young firemen to enter the profession?
Great question. We're looking for everyone, young men, young women. If you're interested in the fire service, we're interested in you. This week, we're going to have a couple open houses at our fire stations. So if you're at all interested, come by, visit those stations and see what we do. You'll be able to see the trucks. The firefighters will be out on the floor with activities. It's a great family environment.
First one is Wednesday night, Fire Station 5 on Aaron's Road. That's from 6:30 till 8:30. And again this weekend, Saturday, 1:30 till 3:30 at Fire Station Hall number 6 on Rink Avenue. How long does it take to become a fireman?
It does take over a year. Right now in our department, we're hiring paramedics. You do have to be a paramedic.
Yeah.
And then you do have to go through your firefighting school. So it can take between a year and a half to 2 years to get your certifications to be qualified to apply to our job.
Fire Chief Lane Jackson, my guest. How, as a fire department, are we holding up? You know, every other morning or so we hear of about house fire that perhaps is, you know, that no one's living in that home, or there's, you know, garbage fires. Is this almost like a weekly occurrence here right now? And how do we stop this from happening?
Yeah, it's still a regular occurrence. We're seeing a reduction in it.
Is there a reason for that reduction?
Well, we're seeing some good enforcement action and some good prevention activities. So inspectors, our bylaw enforcement officers, our fire inspectors, they've created a task force. They're looking at these type of properties, especially derelict properties, and they're engaging with owners and getting those things remedied. Or if there is no remedy in place, they're looking at demolishing those type of buildings so that they're not there as a magnet for that type of activity.
Well, Lane, I have enjoyed our conversation, as I always do with you. And thanks so much for popping by.
Thank you, Greg, for covering this important week.
I'm holding on for a hero till the end of the night.
Well, my hero is Connor McDavid. Taking 5, maybe 7 million less to help us win in Edmonton long term. Joined now by Kevin Martell.
Congratulations. Were you a bit nervous?
No. No, I've never been nervous. I did think he was going to take a shorter term deal. I did think he was going to leave some room, not as much. I did not think he'd take the same deal he already had. But clearly,
yeah.
I think, you know, he's had conversations with Sidney Crosby, who's done something very similar in the past. He's never taken more than he really was ever awarded in the first place, leaving room for, you know, those unrestricted free agents and younger.
Well, for Crosby, for sure.
Yeah.
3 cups.
No, not every year, but you know what? The idea, the concept is what I think Connor embraced too. And I said this to you this morning. I think Connor McDavid spoke to a lot. They talk a lot of the golf course through the summer. And I think he's shared with a few potential unrestricted free agents.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's kind of where I'm feeling. Maybe you'll be interested in joining us in the long haul.
Well, if you really do want to win a Stanley Cup, if your chief goal as a player in the National Hockey League is to win a Stanley Cup, this is pretty good indication from Connor McDavid that that is, you know, he's kind of putting it, you know.
Kevin, I'm just so excited, Kevin. I really am.
Are they going to go back to the Stanley Cup final for the third straight year, the Oilers?
Yeah, they definitely
are. And lose
are.
Again?
And I said I wouldn't reveal this till tomorrow when Jamie and I kind of, you know, technically NHL opens today, but all the Canadian clubs start tomorrow. And I said Jamie and I would reveal who we think is in the Stanley Cup, but it's a no-brainer for me. It will be the Oilers. And yeah, Florida will return. They want to win a dynasty, but the Oilers will stop them year.
They've been there a lot.
Three times?
Years.
Yeah. 3 times? Winning twice there? The Panthers? Yeah. So, okay, so that's big news. Hockey's back, as Murray said in his commentary. Mary Sportsmas, pretty much, right? We've got the Jays. What time today?
Easily the best, 6 o'clock tonight. Easily the best time of year to be a sports fan. You have, obviously, football kind of winding down in the CFL, just kind of get going in the NFL, baseball playoffs, hockey getting underway.
You're very superstitious, because a moment ago I said to you, oh, I hope the Mariners and the Jays come together in a series. And you looked at me sadly and said, please don't jinx this.
It's a stressful time to be a fan, especially in baseball. And I was saying this where obviously, like most other sports, have clocks. So you can get a lead and then you can kind of just, you know, lay back and let the clock run out. Can't do it in baseball. Every pitch is a battle. And even if you're up by many runs, it never seems to be enough, Greg.
All right. Let's look at some of the major headlines today. And there are a couple of interest. One in particular, Carney's in Washington.
He is meeting face-to-face once again with President Donald Trump. We'll see if any progress can be made on tariffs. That is, as we've been talking about for months, the biggest issue in this country. And I think there's maybe more pressure this time around for Prime Minister Carney to perhaps get something done to move the needle on tariffs instead of just coming back and saying, you know, we had some good talks but nothing to actually show for it. I think Canadians, their patience may be running out.
And it's just so hard to tell. Trump's so volatile too, right? And I was suggesting earlier that I don't think he's going to go full Zelensky on him in front of the cameras. But I bet you there's going to be a little smack coming because, you know, Trump's in the middle of this Middle East peace plan and Carney, Canada recognizing the Palestinian state. I think some of the theatrics of that. This is the second anniversary.
Yeah, it is today of that initial attack. And remember, too, the first time the two met, Trump, right to Carney's face, had made quips again about 51st state. Yeah. 51st state. Is that going to come up again today? And what will Carney's response be this time?
Freedom Convoy leaders, Tamara Leach, Chris Barber in Ottawa, their fate today, right?
Yeah, they will learn their sentences. Remember, it was in April where they were found guilty of mischief. Barber also convicted of counseling others to commit mischief. So we'll see what they get today. Of course, the range from their lawyers is pretty different. The Crown wants 7 years in prison. Leach, 8 years for Barber, and their defense lawyers think that they should get absolute discharges. Remember, they've already spent some time in custody over the last number of years.
Okay, I never asked you, circling back to where it all began here, the Jays
have
the Yankees on the ropes tonight. Frank, our producer, who sits between us right now, a Jays fan, said the bats will go cold for the Jays tonight, and then they'll win the next game and end the series. Your thoughts?
That's kind of what I thought, too. I think this New York team is too good to be crushed 3 games in a row, especially when you're in New York now. So I think they lose tonight, Toronto does, but they win in game four.
Game time tonight, 6. Thank you, Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom. Well, that was a pretty dramatic Monday Night Football game last night. The Jags, Kansas City had scored a touchdown with a minute 45 left in the game. They were up 28-24, but KC, they committed a couple blunders and penalties. The Jags were first and goal on the one-yard line. Quarterback Trevor Lawrence had his foot stepped on by his own teammate as he goes back to pass. He falls down, but
now Lawrence goes down, has to get up, breaks the tackle, touchdown, Jackson Bay! He was able to score. Oh, man.
One of the more exciting one-yard touchdown runs you'll ever see.
Oh, yeah, when he fell, I thought, oh, my gosh, they're going to win, the Chiefs. But no, they lost 31-28. Jags now 4-1. Chiefs fall to 2-3. Keeping with football, our Saskatchewan Rough Riders were back to practice yesterday, and CJME Rider reporter Britton Gray was there and joins me now. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
Well, win and clinch first place on Friday night. How important is that?
I think it's very important, especially when you look at the way the BC Lions and Winnipeg Blue Bombers are playing right now, right? You want to face those guys at Mosaic Stadium, especially Nathan Rourke right now. You're kind of hoping that there's a blizzard in Regina with the way he's throwing the ball right now.
Well, hopefully they get it done Friday against the Argos, who just announced they're shutting down Nick Arbuckle, right, for the rest of the season because of a shoulder injury.
Yeah, Nick Arbuckle's done. I don't think Chad Kelly's going to play at all this season with the way things have gone. So it's going to be Jared Daigie, I would believe, would be the starting quarterback, which, I mean, is a boost for the Riders, right, having to face the Argos' third-string quarterback. Though, as we know in this league, can't take any win for granted or any game for granted. So it's still expected to be a good game. But, yeah, this is a prime opportunity for the Riders because not only do you get a chance to make sure that the West Finals in Regina, but some much-needed rest for some of these players. AJ Ouellette has done a lot of heavy lifting for this team this season. Trevor Harris, make sure his arm is ready to go for the playoffs and get some of these guys healthy. So it's going to be very important this team finds a way to just clinch it right now. Don't worry about any sort of other ways. Just get a win, and then you know for sure that the West Finals here in Regina.
Britton, with the Argos looking as they are, it's guaranteed win night. You wait.
Hey, they only beat the Ottawa Red Blacks by 7, so I can't say anything's guaranteed.
Well, let's talk about that Red Blacks game because we were all alarmed when we saw Roland Milligan favor what his knee or his ankle. What's the latest there?
Yeah, not much. He wasn't out there on day one. Head coach Corey Mace, when asked about him and both and Marcus Sales, is that this week telling him to kind of live in the training room, kind of just get ready, get things right. And like I said, this is kind of a prime opportunity with an Argos defense or an Argos offense, sorry, that's dealing with a lot of injuries right now, including starting a third string quarterback. So maybe this is a week where you can afford to give some of these guys that extra time off and make sure they're right and ready for playoffs.
Now, from what I heard from you, our writer reporter, Britton Gray, Brett Lauther, who was out last game because of a back, did kick a couple of times. And delicately, I guess the coach talked about Campbell Fair. So bring those two together. What did you hear? What did you see?
Yeah, Brett Lauther did a little bit of kicking before practice, though he left right after that and wasn't out there for a lot of it. So he's still listed as a did not participate due to his back injury. So he's still dealing with that. Campbell Fair was out there, though they didn't do much field goal kicking yesterday. So we'll see what kind of happens today if Brett does a little bit more or if Campbell Fair just has to go again because as Brett kind of deals with his injury.
Okay. And they're wearing Obsidian Green on Friday night. There's another reason I think it's guaranteed win night.
Yeah, it's the lights out game, right? So those are always fun. This team has done a really good job with some of its promotions, and the lights out game's always a fun one because of the kind of performance you get, the lights out performance. It was very cool last year. Excited for what they have this season.
You a Jays fan, Britton?
I'm a Cubs fan, Greg.
Oh,
it's not fun watching baseball for me right now with the Brewers and Darryl Davis's team there crushing them.
My condolences to you, my friend. Thank you for joining me, Britton Gray.
Not a problem.
I appreciate it. Let's go, Jays. Okay, who Jays? Let's play. They've got the Yankees on the ropes. It's a do or die. New York tonight, 6 o'clock our time. Jays entering game 3 of the best of 5. with a 2-0 lead. And pitcher Shane Bieber gets the ball for the Jays tonight. And the Yankees, they say they're going to counter with Carlos Rodon, an 18-game winner who won Game 2 of New York's Wild Card Series victory over Boston. But if the Jays win tonight, they stand by for the winner of the series between Seattle and Detroit. Okay. Why am I playing the races, John? Well, I play it for Mike.
Oh, you're doing this for Big Mike.
Evan Bray's dog, Mike, who's in a... Kelly Rempel came up with quite the idea here for the Thunder game this weekend at Libel Field.
They're calling it the first annual Wiener Dog Race.
Now, I believe Kelly was trying to tell me that Mike... he's the favorite to win the race right
now. Come on.
How does he get that? What are the odds on Mike?
There's 44 dogs entered in this race.
What? How many? 44?
44. Our dog, Mike, who is he's three today, actually.
Oh, happy birthday, Mike.
Today. He is going to be distracted. He's going to bark at other dogs. He's very likely to poop in the racetrack, and he's not going to run in the right direction.
Is it like a baby crawl? Like you'll be at one end with Mike releasing and Jody will go on the other end?
That's right. And then you coax him to the finish line.
Yeah.
And he is not a good listener.
No, I've been at your home.
Highly distracted.
That. Yeah, but he's so cute.
Well, I guess he's got that going for him because I don't expect big things, but that's happening on the 12th of October,
like this weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
Sunday.
Yeah, you're always big on dates.
Well, you know, okay. I just want to make sure we got it right.
All right. So throughout your show this morning, you'll be in and out, I'm sure, with whatever happens at the White House.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to be carrying that live. So we know 9:30 our time is when Prime Minister Mark Carney arrives at the White House. They'll do the obligatory handshake on the doorstep. Then they go into the Oval Office, and that is where they usually will carry it live. They'll do some back and forth between the two leaders. Media might ask some questions. So we will be carrying that live at 9:45. It's going to be interesting. I said this yesterday on the show. This is the meeting where I think there's expectation that Mark Carney's going to come home.
He's been touting it for months
something.
Now.
Yeah. He's got to come home with something. We saw the first meeting that he had there, which was, you know, just getting to know each other. Since then, they've met at a ton of world meetings. Apparently, they text back and forth all the time. He needs a deal. That's what we need to see here.
I don't know that anything is going to come out of today. In fact, I've said this even yesterday. I kind of feel like it's a win if he comes back and there's no further damage.
Well, I would call that a loss.
And at the very least, I could maybe see aluminum, steel, hopefully softwood lumber, a little ease there. Yeah. Maybe as a bit of a truce.
Yeah.
But I don't think we'll ever get a tariff-free deal.
Well, we might not get a tariff-free deal, but I think you're on to something. I think it's concessions on some of the sector tariffs for sure we need to see. And maybe even some groundwork towards that new Kuzma renegotiated agreement. Like, there's lots of ground there, Greg, for them to do something. And I think we need
Let
to
me
see
try
something.
This one out on you here. I'm just throwing it out there. Could Carney also, the back of his mind through all of this process, just be thinking, you know what, we're close. Because the Supreme Court still has to look at whether or not Trump can do this in November, right?
Yeah.
They're calling it early, right? Because technically he needed Congress to assist him through all of this, but he's just made, the presidential move on this. And it's a bit of a controversy. I know the Supreme Court is stacked in his favor, but maybe Carney is thinking, you know what? This might actually, the longer it goes on, perhaps the Supreme Court does rule. And Trump has said, if that happens, we got to pay back a lot of money in tariffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think Trump is doing that.
Too much
of
a stretch?
Yeah, I think Trump is doing that to try and influence ahead of time what the Supreme Court does.
Yeah.
I also don't expect, if the Supreme Court rules against Trump, which I don't think is going to happen, I don't expect to see swift action there. I think there's going to be loopholes. I think there's going to be all kinds of things.
Okay, what do you think is going to happen today to the Freedom Convoy leaders, Tamara Leach and Chris Barber, waiting in Ottawa to see what their fate is?
I think they need to get time served. I mean, I don't know how on the charges that they've been charged with and found guilty of, how they get anything. Like, they're asking for a 7- and 8-year sentence for the two of them. That is ridiculous. We have people that murder people in this country that don't get that stiff of a sentence. So keep in mind, Tamara's almost done 50 days in jail already. So if you look at what Pat King got, I can't see how these guys get anything but time served.
All right, so you got that covered, because that'll likely come down during the show and everything
through,
with Carney.
The show. That's
we'll
right.
go live to the Oval Office when necessary.
Jays win tonight. I mean, it's a good day today, Greg.
You've got a lot to talk about, Evan. You better go rest that voice.
Thanks, Greg.
Evan Bray's back at 8:30.